Back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Yesterday, the aircraft carrier USS George Washington arrived off the devastated coast of the Philippines. This as the United Nations humanitarian chief acknowledged frustration at the slow pace of aid distribution. The aircraft carrier's 5,000 sailors and two support cruisers immediately began moving aid to the increasingly desperate survivors of Typhoon Haiyan. The UN says more than 500,000 people have been displaced across the Philippines. The confirmed death toll stood as of yesterday at almost 2,500, but aid workers fear the true figure could be much higher. It's been a week since the nearly 200-mile-per-hour winds slammed into the country. Most of those affected are still waiting to receive food and medical supplies. Joining us to talk about it, Dr. Rosa Reyes is the business manager of the Filipino-American Association of Iowa and worked in the Philippines as a physician in our Des Moines studio. Dr. Reyes, hi.
Hello.
Also in our Des Moines studio, Mary Sherrill, a Filipino-American who moved to the U.S., I believe in 2004. Is that right, Mary?
Correct.
And moved to Iowa just recently. When was that?
Late September
okay.
this year.
Okay. Well, welcome to Iowa because you're fresh in the state. Before we discuss this, I want to reach out to our listeners, especially if you're Filipino-American. Do you have relations in the Philippines who've been affected by the typhoon? How have you been involved in the recovery? We want to hear from you this half hour. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org is our email. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Since I believe you, Mary Sherrill, have relations in the Philippines, let's start with you. Tell us, what family do you have in the Philippines affected by the storm?
Yeah, my family lived in the south part of the island, the big island of Leyte. I was born and raised there, and most of my family is from there. After the storm, 2 days later, I was able to make contact with my sister, and they're fine. Several days, we haven't heard from my father's youngest brother, and thank God this morning I called back, and he actually is fine and his family with minimal damage to their homes, believe it or not. That was a miracle in itself because they are close to Tacloban City where the damage was. So I'm, today is a good day for me.
You're feeling a lot of relief there. What was it like being here when a lot of your family were in the midst of that huge superstorm?
You're anxious. I've said earlier to Sarah the other day, I've lived through it, not as signal number 4, but a signal number 3 storm. I know what that experience was like. So, you're here in the States. You cannot call anyone. There's nothing you can talk to about it, and it's just, you feel helpless and frustrated at the same time.
You're in contact with your family. Is this by cell phone there?
Yes. It turns out that the cell phone companies in the Philippines has put up some charging stations in the area. They don't have electricity there yet as we speak, but the phone companies have set up chargers, and this cell phone signal is back, so, once in a while, I can contact my sister.
Thousands have died, many, many homeless. Thank goodness for your family, Sherrill. They appear to be all safe. What do they say about the conditions now?
In my town, which is the southern part of the island, they are now undergoing cleanup. There's not a whole lot of damage to buildings and homes, but a lot of uprooted trees and power lines down. They are starting to work in that.
You said the province of Leyte how was that hit by the brunt of the storm, or was it saved from that?
The north, yeah, Leyte. That actually Tacloban is the north of Leyte.
Tacloban is the town that we've hit that we've been hearing about that
yes.
was at the center of the storm where the most damage was done, right?
Yes, and that's north of the big island of Leyte. We are from the south.
Okay. Dr. Reyes, you're the business manager of the Filipino-American Association of Iowa. What have you been doing in these last few days as this the expanse of this tragedy has been unfolding?
We have been very busy. We are currently undertaking three fundraising events now. Our first event is this Friday, tomorrow, November 15, from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. There will be like a relief benefit show. And then this is located in the Gloria Day Lutheran Church. And then
this is in Des Moines.
Yes, in Urbandale.
In Urbandale, all right.
And we are also holding a donation collection, you know, of clothes and goods at the Filipino store on Saturday, November 16, from 11 to 4 p.m.
Where is the Filipino store?
The Filipino store is located at 1300 Cummins Road, Des Moines. And that's in near the South Ridge Mall.
Mm-hmm. You're collecting clothing and so forth.
Yeah, here. Light clothes, undergarment, shoes, toiletries, mm-hmm. you know, like canned goods and stuff there. But we are not really calling this like so much. You know, like we don't need – because it's so expensive to ship this.
Yes.
So our call for this is actually internally only. I mean, we started it just among ourselves and stuff. And mm-hmm. that's why I'm just telling you mm-hmm. lightly. But our main charity event is on Saturday next week, because that gives us more time to prepare and tell people mm-hmm. about it. And this is called the Evening of the Night of Music and Dance for the Philippines. And it's on November 23rd, Saturday, from 6:30 to 11 p.m., and it's going to be at the St. Francis of Assisi, located in West Des Moines, 7075 Ashworth Road in West Des Moines.
Of course, the Red Cross, a big part of the relief effort in the Philippines as well. You can find out more about helping out through the Red Cross by going to redcross.org. And I understand that they're saying, you know, money is the thing to help along and to help people in the Philippines regain their footing after this devastation has taken. Dr. Reyes, tell us, what have you been hearing from Filipino Americans around Iowa, around the Midwest in the last few days?
Well, it was amazing because everybody started, you know, like calling the officers of the Filipino American Association of Iowa and like going to the Filipino store asking how they could help. And like, you know, this benefit show actually just started out when a performing artist contacted me and told me that, you know, we really have not much funds, but we have this talent, you know, that we are mm-hmm. we are willing to put up, you know, like, well, let's just collect a collection of talents. Let's gather all our local performing artists who are actually willing to do this for free and to, you know, put up a benefit show. We were initially planned to just have one, but we couldn't get a venue right away. So, it ended up to have two.
You worked as a practicing physician in the Philippines.
I took my medical school there mm-hmm. at the University of Santo Tomas.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you understand are the main medical challenge in the Philippines since this storm struck?
First of all, is the supply of the medicines, anti-tetanus injectables, you know, like paracetamol. All these supplies are very important to be able to mobilize also our medical teams there. I have been contacted by, you know, my the sororities I'm affiliated to with my medical school and the medical associations that they are not like during the dawn of the event, the typhoon, they are not able to go right away because the airport was destroyed also. So they actually, gathered and waited until the government have already agreed to send them. And they were assigned different areas too, so that not only Tacloban City is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So
Rosa Reyes, were you born in the Philippines?
I was born in the Philippines. And I only went to America to train, to specialize in nephrology and hypertension.
Mm-hmm. Any thought? I don't know if the need is there, but do they need medical personnel to return there for a short time?
Well, as of now, we have a lot of our own local doctors there who are helping out. And we actually have planned this, like, you know, some help, medical mission stuff. But it was not even planned. It was planned before this event. So It's still not very concrete if we are going to send our own, you know, medical people from here there. Mm-hmm. Because as of now, they just want supplies and funds to buy, you know, all this. They sent me lists of medicines and supplies that they would need to purchase just to be able to help there.
And I understand that you have no relations who were affected by the storm?
No, I am from Manila.
Okay. And that is well away from the center of the storm.
Manila is in Luzon, and Tacloban City is in Leyte, and that is in Visayas. Please take note also that even before this big super typhoon, we just had an earthquake in Bohol, which was really strong and destroyed a lot of stuff also there. So we were actually collecting goods for that area. And then even before that, like a month before this, the Luzon area, Zambales, was hit with severe floods. So like we're like endlessly collecting funds and goods to send back home.
It's right. Just, and we've been getting a little bit of a
devastating
Philippines geography lesson here, because even though this superstorm was, I don't know if it was how wide, 300 miles wide or more than that?
Yeah.
But the Philippines is an archipelago that
of 7,000 islands.
That yes. Stretches how far? If you would lay it over the United States, for instance, do you know that?
Oh.
Do you
know? The Philippines is about 300,000 square kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
it's, you know, it's scattered. It's over 7,000 different islands.
And
but the three main areas is the Luzon, which is the north. Most north, mm-hmm. and then Visayas, and then Mindanao underneath, you know, the most southern area.
Mm-hmm.
So Leyte, Bohol, Cebu, they're all in the Visayas area, and that has been really, you know, what do you call it, damage, or, you know, really
devastated.
Felt the severe, you know, effects of these calamities recently.
If you just joined us, Dr. Rosa Reyes is with us of the Filipino-American Association of Iowa. Also, Mary Sherrill, she moved to the U.S. From the Philippines in 2004 to Iowa just a few weeks ago. And if you'd like to join our conversation, especially if you're a Filipino-American, 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. You mentioned briefly, Mary, that while in the Philippines, you had experienced a typhoon, but not of a Category 5, a Category 3. Now, how big of a difference is there between those two? You were about 7 or 8 when you experienced that, right?
Yeah. Actually, we categorize storm in the Philippines is signal number 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
3 would be the strongest, and I've experienced that when I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old.
How in relation to this typhoon, how does it measure up, the one that you experienced at the age of 7 or 8?
Well, at that time, you know, when you're at that age, everything seems magnified several times. So when you go, when you leave your home, because we live by the sea, because our family is a family of fishermen, so that's our livelihood right there, near the water. So you left in the morning when the storm was over, and you go back to your house, and our house was gone. So that was as a, you know, as a 7 year old, that's pretty much scary.
What images stand out for you about that time? What, describe them for us.
It was a lot of debris, a lot of trees scattered all over. Coconut trees. They were all over the ground. Roofs of homes, you know, just like in the ground. You cannot walk You know, it's like, where is my house before?
Mm-hmm. Fatalities from that time?
I cannot remember. I don't think it was that bad, though. We just go to a higher ground, and it was certainly not this magnitude, mm-hmm. you know. When I heard it last week and they said it's signal number 4, and I thought, I didn't know there's signal number 4. I thought 3 was the, you know, was the strongest. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have, as far as I can remember, I don't think we have this much casualty just from a storm. I think this is the first for the Philippines.
What are your concerns about? I mentioned at the beginning that the UN humanitarian chief has acknowledged there's frustration, the slow pace of aid distribution. Do you fear, you know, lives have been lost because of the slow international response?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. It is always the source of frustration for us, for the Filipinos who are not there, because we know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's frustrating because a lot of, you know, the need, you can see it there, but if the government is not stepping up, I mean, right now I'm just happy when I heard in the news and it said the U.S. military is already in Leyte. I was like, thank God, yeah. Thank God for the U.S. military, because otherwise.
Well, we're reporting on that, of course, because we're in the United States and there are many other countries helping out in the Philippines. But
yes.
What is your impression of sending an aircraft carrier is certainly an immense thing. But it arrived on the coast. Yes. Yesterday.
No, I mean, I don't think the Filipinos have seen that thing, that kind of, you know.
They haven't.
Yes.
Okay, they haven't seen it yet, or they haven't seen it up to this?
They haven't seen that amount of power, that amount of, you know, like that big ship.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
What difference do you think that will make? Are you hearing it from the people you have contact with in the Philippines yet, the American presence in the recovery?
My contact there is only my sister, and she said that they're hearing reports that the U.S. military is already there, and that kind of, you know, a relief for most of the people. Because I think if you look at it, if you're from there, if you're a local from there, you don't trust your own government to make good on delivering all these reliefs. And then you hear the Americans are there, and it's like, thank God they're there. They would trust the American soldiers more than our own government, which is a sorry state, but that's the truth.
You certainly know this background, but many of our listeners would need to be reminded of the strong ties between the Philippines and the United States, of course, also going back to World War II.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've seen it in the news of near Tacloban. There's a town there that has the big statue of MacArthur and his soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
It's, they're in the water when they land.
I shall return.
Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness, yeah. That's a big deal in Leyte for us, you know. Mm-hmm.
So how generally do Filipinos regard Americans and the American presence in the past, in the present, and during this recovery?
No question. We love America. We love the Americans. I remember, when I experienced that storm when I was a child, and everything that we owned are wet. Clothes, there's nothing dry. And then I think in 2 days we heard news that there was relief goods coming from the United States. And so we went there and we had these little packages of dried clothing. I mean, a lot of them are big for, you know, for little Filipino kids, but, you know, they're dry. So we were happy to wear them for a while. And I always remember there's always powdered milk and cornmeal. That's what I remember about America growing up. There's always powdered milk from the United States and cornmeal.
And these are things you do not forget your entire life.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't. Yeah, you don't. Because that's like, this is, you know, this is from people you don't know and they're helping out. You don't even meet these people. I mean, you know, you just heard from them that, oh, it's from America.
When we talk about this, the slow pace of aid distribution, Dr. Reyes, when people unfortunately die in the aftermath, perhaps because of a slow pace of international intervention. What are the causes of these further fatalities?
Oh, many. There will be, you know, diarrhea. There will be, you know, infectious diseases. And then starvation. There will be
a whole host of things.
Like it's all like complications of like the aftermath of you know, unsanitary environment. So,
Well, thank you very much for sharing your concerns, your actions during this time. Remind us once again, very quickly, if you could, the benefits that are being held.
We are for everybody who are like, please open your hearts and give us give generously to the Philippines. You can visit any Viridian Credit Union bank and just mention them that you want that your that amount of money donated to the Filipino American Association of Iowa's Helping Hands Fund. Or you could also send a check to the Filipino American Association of Iowa to our treasurer, Jim Foster.
Okay, we have to go, Dr. Reyes.
Okay.
Thank you very
right.
much. Mary Cheryl, thank you for coming into our studio. Of course, the Red Cross.
Okay.
Find out more information at how to help through the Red Cross as well, redcross.org. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, It's a NewsBuzz edition of our program. We'll talk with sociologist Matt DeLisi of Iowa State University. He says we should resist the growing pressure to reduce prison sentences. We'll find out why when we get back. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Sarah Bowden, and Ben Stanton. John Pemble helped us out in Des Moines. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.